Was a kind of magic. Queen, 1986, written by Roger Taylor, was UK number 3. This song was featured as the closing theme to the film Highlander. I like that film.
Yeah, that had that Queen song's all the way through it, that song. It's practically the whole album was on there. It's brilliant.
Brilliant, brilliant. Mm. Well, Freddie Mercury changed the bass line and added instrumental breaks to make the song more chart-friendly. All of this reportedly took place while Taylor was on holiday.
Oh, no.
Mm. And he wasn't best pleased.
He did have a holiday, though, so he can't complain.
Claiming the song had been almost completely rewritten, as Freddie would do.
Mm.
And that probably explains why Taylor's version featured on the film and Freddie's on the album of the same name. But the song remained credited to Roger Taylor. Mm. But they never really fell out, Queen, did they?
No.
They just go, I'm a bit miffed.
Yeah, I think it's just like a bunch of blokes together for years and years. You always going to have arguments, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Shall we do some shout-outs?
Okay.
Right, I'm just going to rattle through them because I want to play some more Halloween numbers. This is Paul Rogers, Kevin Baker, Paul Sutcliffe, Imran, Philip Hilton, Adam Lee, AJ, Carl Darters, Carla Austin, John George, Jumpers for Goalposts, Chris Boot, Jeff LUFC, John Matthews, David Booth, Ian Allison, Martin Xavier, Christopher Woodnut, Chris Dussettler, Rich Nightingale, Coulson 4890, Kevin Baker, John Courtier, David Orr, Ken Wiseman, Vicky Garvey, and Paul Drew. And you've got a few over there.
We've got a few, so hello to Mandy White, Michael McGann, Nikki Goddard, Tracy Murphy, Julian Jules, Edward Sweeney, Peter Bayliss, Roger Nuck, Alan Fox, Frederica, Mark Shaw, Bernie Holden, The Mariners, Torquay, Peter Crowder, David Joseph, Stuart Thurtle, Ian Brown, Ian Tyso, Demon 160, Nick Faith, Endon Stormtroopers, Shawnee Back, Sparko, Barry Munzer, Mark Radcliffe, Greg B, John Saunders, Romy Rixinger, Adrian Knight, Adrian Lewis, Lord Eldred Campbell, Martin Grell, Ricky Bobby, Dave Lynn, Jags Kilmax, Steve Moore, Andrew Hibbett, Martin Pilcher, Daddy Yono, and Dave Ward.
I'm loving Martin Pilchard. I'm loving that. Oh, I've got a few more regulars. Trevor Wallett, Peter Oxley, Alan Pell, Clive Gibson, Mike Child, Chris Walkie, Luke Doonan, Barry and Petra Coase, Tom Nestor, CJ Dartnell, Nikki Nicol, Brian Fever, Anthony Blood, Ronald Menker, Durham Leopard, Martin Hollingsworth, P.E. Dartnell, Zoe Wainwright, Glyn Marston, Andrew Robley, Christopher Woodnut, Nigel Heath, Bobby Rosa and Steve D. Thank you all for listening. You are all fabulous. Shall we play an Elvis Presley number?
Yeah, let's go.
I love this. The Devil in Disguise.
You look like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise. You fool me with your kisses. You cheated and you schemed. Heaven knows how you lied to me. You're not the way you seem. You look like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh yes you are. Like an angel, talk like an angel, but I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are.
That was The Devil in Disguise. Elvis Presley, 1963, was a UK number one. Backing vocals were the Jordanaires, and playing for what would have been Jordanaire singer Neil Matthews' birthday, which would have been on the 26th of October. And also because I love Elvis. And also it's The Devil in Disguise, so it ties in with Halloween. but when this song debuted, this is not a lot of people know this. When this song debuted on BBC TV show Jukebox Jury, which was fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm obviously much too young to remember it. Celebrity guest John Lennon voted the song amiss.
Oh, did he?
An Elvis song amiss.
Do you think he did it deliberately?
I don't know. It went to number one in the UK charts, albeit for only 1 week. But how can I don't think there's any Elvis song that's been amiss.
No,
is there?
He must have done it deliberately.
And the writers tailored this song with Elvis specifically in mind, and it became one of his best loved hits. So, what should we play next? Well, I've got a fun story in the press this week. Actor Elliot Gould, currently on his long goodbye tour, was a huge Elvis fan and always wanted to meet him. He eventually got the chance and planned a list of everything he'd always wanted to ask his idol. But as soon as Elvis opened his dressing room door, before Gould could say a word, Elvis jumped in with, "Why did you and Barbara Streisand break up?" You're two of my favourite people. Totally starstruck. The only reply Gorka must have was, shut up, Elvis. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant song. Now, what are we playing next? Don't Turn Around?
Let's
do it. As one. Don't Turn Around, as was. 1988 was a UK number one, requested by John Matthews. Great song, that. Originally recorded by Tina Turner. This was Aswad's first number one after 13 years together. And they went on to have four more top 30 hits. And I met Brinsley Ford on Pointless. I mentioned this last week. But I'm just going to mention
it again.
I'm going to mention it again. And he was a lovely bloke. But I was on with Linda and on Pointless. And who won?
Yeah, it was you and Linda Lucardi,
correct,
wasn't it?
I just thought I'd get that in again. Okay, let's play a Santana number, Black Magic Woman.
spell on me, baby. Got your spell on me, baby. Yes, you've got your spell on me, baby. Turning my heart into stone. I need you so bad, magic woman, I can't leave you alone.
That was Black Magic Woman, Santana, 1970, written by Peter Green and Gabor, number 37. It was number 37 in the UK chart. I think they should have got higher than that.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, although recognised hit for Santana, this song was originally recorded by Fleetwood Mac in 1968. And the royalties from this version helped Peter Green survive after he left Fleetwood Mac after becoming involved with black magic and drugs. He gave most of his money away when he left the band.
Yeah, he had a proper big breakdown and got involved with cults and that
That's
kind of thing.
Sad.
And, yeah.
You know, someone talented and then just...
I know, and it's sort of that the group sort of picked themselves up and sort of reinvented himself after that, because they sort of changed tack a little bit and became like these big soft rock superstars in the 70s, but they were a big blues band in the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knew Santana, but they had, there was a three-day premiere event, Carlos the Santana Journey. The premiere took place in cinemas worldwide from the 24th of October.
It was Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday just gone. Yeah.
We missed it.
Yeah, we did.
That would have been
shame.
Good. I didn't even know about it. And Santana's just announced new dates for their residency at the House of Blues, Las Vegas, from September. The residency is currently going into its 12th year.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah, people like... I mean, they end up in Las Vegas, don't they?
Mm,
obviously get paid a lot of money there.
Yeah, it's like $500 a ticket, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Is it? How much do they get?
Most
Elvis,
of it.
I mean, Elvis was there. Loads of people
that
still perform there. All right. Oh, Howling Wolf number now.
Oh.
We love a howling, don't we, Paul? This is Smokestack Lightning.
Thank you.
was Smokestack Lightning, Howling Wolf, 1956, written and performed by Howling Wolf, with his trademark howl providing the beat. It was one of his most popular influential songs. He was considered one of the greatest ever Chicago blues artists. Prior to becoming a singer, Howling was a farmer, and he got the inspiration for the title by sitting outside his shack at night watching sparks shoot off the trains, the train smokestacks, as they drove down the track. Howling also played harmonica on this track, as well as singing vocals. He first started performing it as early as the 1930s.
Wow.
I remember going to see him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously going a long time. And Ike Turner produced Howling's first records.
Oh, wow.
That's good. And the Rolling Stones were huge fans of Howling and once only agreed to sing on the TV show Shindig if Howling was there too. He opened for them.
Excellent.
It's excellent. I love that. Oh, shall we have a little howl off? Shall we have a little practice?
Okay.
Okay, are you going first or am I going first?
Okay, all right. You go first.
Okay. I'm not practicing this. You've been practicing. I know you've been practicing.
I don't think I can beat that.
Go for it. That was great. I bet everyone at home's gone, whoa, that made me jump. That was great. You've definitely been practicing. It's gone a bit gravelly. Have you got a sore throat?
I have now, yeah.
And now you know what it was like when I used to go, oh, Renee, I swear to you, murder on the vocal cords.
You're doing that 100 times a day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's play a Bette Midler number. I love this song. I Put a Spell on You.
I put a spell on you. And now you're mine. I put a spell on you. And now you're gone. My whammy fell on you. And it was strong. You're wretched and alive. Have all been cursed because of all the witches working.
Was I Put a Spell on You, Bette Midler, 1993. I love that song. I've sung it in pantos a couple of times. I think it was at the Arena St. Albans in 2000. But it was used in the film Hocus Pocus with Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathy Najimy. But Hocus Pocus 2, also starring Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathy, came out last year and fans loved it. So I hopefully am going to sing it this year, because it's popular again. And I think the kids love it.
Yeah.
You know, they
yeah.
know it. But just change a few of the lyrics to suit my character. In both films, the story revolves around three fictional witches from Salem. It's so creepy. Mm-hmm. The Sanderson sisters, Winifred, Sarah and Mary. They're very good, actually, aren't they? I love them in there. But, I've loved that. I haven't seen the second one, have you?
No, I haven't.
Are you going to? No, you didn't. No, you didn't elaborate on that. I want to see it. Yes, I am a huge child. I want to go. I want to see it.
I may end up seeing it at one point in my life.
Yeah, you will. Kids love it. Okay, let's play a Creedence Clearwater Revival number. This is Bad Moon Rising.
Bad Town.
That was Bad Moon Rising, Creedence Clearwater Revival, 1969. It was a UK number one. And it's been used in two science fiction films, An American Werewolf in London and Twilight Zone, the movie. I love that American Werewolf. It was one of my favourite films. And I haven't watched it for ages. Have you?
I saw it when I was a sixth form. That's about 4 or 5 years ago.
I loved it because it had all those special effects. They'd never been seen before, those special effects. You know, when he changes into the wolf and everything. And it made me laugh. So although it was creepy, it was funny. It was like when he came back from the dead and he's sitting in the cinema or something. And his friend who's alive says, God, you look awful. And his skin's like dripping from his face, which is clever. Although the music and upbeat sound makes this song appear to be a happy one, its lyrics actually describe the coming of the apocalypse.
Oh.
Spooky.
Hasn't come yet, though, to be
fair. No, thank God. But the current band will embark on their UK tour in January 2024. Okay, should we play a Redbow number? This is The Witch Queen of New Orleans.
She'll put a spell on you. She'll put a spell on you. She's the witch.
The Witch Queen of New Orleans, Redbone, 1971, written by Luli and Pat Vegas. Luli was a UK number two. A song based on Marie Catherine Laveau, a Louisiana Creole voodoo practitioner. Voodoo came to the New Orleans via the slave trade, and Marie Laveau was the most powerful voodoo priestess in the world.
Wow.
Her name and history are surrounded by legend and lore. Despite the voodoo religion being considered dangerous, celebrations are held for her throughout the year, most notably on the 21st of June, otherwise known as St. John's Day, the holiest day of the year in the voodoo religion. I didn't even know there was a voodoo religion. And approximately 15% of New Orleans' population are thought to practice voodoo, although no one knows the exact figure. Now that's spooky.
Now, there are a few people I'd like to stick pins in a effigy of them, actually, so I can understand why it's popular. Yeah.
I suppose so, yeah. But punk group The Misfits were arrested for trying to exhume her body after a local concert.
Oh. Oh my God.
Wow, that is spooky. Oh. But Redbone are currently touring Canada on a lighter note. Let's play Monster Mash. Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers.
For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Jack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drac's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
That was Monster Mash, Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers, 1962. That is a good song, isn't it? It's hysterical. Okay, made number three here in the UK, number one in America. Was the most successful novelty horror song. Pickett started performing as a nightclub entertainer and would do impressions of Boris Karloff in his act. And this song started a dance craze based on the mashed potato dance. Boris loved Monster Mash and performed it on a Halloween edition of the variety show Shindig. So this was obviously a huge show back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sound effects on the record were homemade, with bubbling sounds being made by someone blowing through a straw into a glass of water. Chains from dropping chains onto plywood planks. And the coffin being opened with a rusty nail being pulled out of a lump of wood with a claw hammer. Was it as good as my...
No, yours was better.
Thanks. And also, I don't... Allo, Allo actually did a horror... one of the episodes was based on a... On the horror movie. It was a Hammer horror spoof in which I played Yvonne DiCarlo. So this big wig on with a white streak going through it. So I was the Bride of Frankenstein. And then I think Rene played Charles Laughton as the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Right. And Boris Karloff was played by who?
Oh, I don't remember.
Mimi LeBonc. She should have pulled cap on. She's just brilliant.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah, no. It was a hysterical episode. But there's 4 episodes of LOLO from 8 p.m. if you fancy a laugh. Enigma's End, Desperate Doings in the Graveyard. Well, that's a good one. The Gestapo for the High Jump and Nuvion Oars. So I should be watching. It does make me laugh still.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Good.
Okay, oh, this is a good one. Okay, I discovered this. Hope you like it. This is really spooky. This is the theme from the Psycho shower scene.
Get the dum dum.
No, there was a dum dum at the end. Dum dum. That was the theme from Psycho Shower Scene 1960. I hope you enjoyed that. But it's one of those films, like, I think someone was saying on the radio, like, what freaks people out from horror films, you know, because people have had phobias from horror films, and that's got to be one of them.
Everyone knows that. Even if they don't, even if they've never seen the film or they don't like horror films, they know that piece of music.
They
it's
do.
Properly iconic.
Because I do it when I'm going out. That's my psycho thing. So I didn't even know that existed. I'm glad I found that. Hitchcock claims to have written the whole film around the bathtub murder. It's the most iconic theme in horror film history. It almost didn't happen because Hitchcock wanted the scene to unfold in near silence. But while Hitchcock was away from the shoot, Bernard Herrmann, who wrote this, put the violins to work and came up with the screech, screech sound, which was brilliant. Upon his return, Hitchcock agreed the composer was right and doubled his salary.
Oh, wow.
Wow, he was pleased. Bernie
yeah,
was,
I'll bet.
He was pleased. Oh, this is groovy. Okay. The stabbing sound was generated by the stabbing of a melon. But not just any melon. They laid out an epic spread of every kind of melon till they found the perfect sound. And you know who won?
No.
The Casabar melon.
Oh, right.
It had just the right density of sound when interdispersed with a slab of steak. And you know what they used for blood?
No.
Hershey's chocolate syrup.
Ah.
It makes it laughable, but it was really creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's play a Warren Zevon number. This is Werewolves of London.
Yeah. grey-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Ah, ooh, werewolves of London. Ah, ooh. Ah, ooh, werewolves of London. Ah, ooh. Well, I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's, and his hair was purple.
That was Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon, 1978. Do you want to do another howl off?
Ow. Did a better one than that. Ow.
That was almost a song. Ow. Okay. This song features guitar and drums from Mick Fleetwood and John McVie of Fleetwood Mac. And the Chinese restaurant mentioned in the song, Li Ho Fook, is a real location on Gerrard Street, Chinatown. It got a mention by Egon Rone in the Dunlop Good Food Guide, and the owner proudly displays a photo of Zevon in the restaurant. Actually, I was talking to someone and telling them about, explaining about Gerrard Street in Chinatown, and that some people go to China because there's one restaurant in Chinatown where they really insult you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they are really rude. What you want? Yeah, that's right, really. You know, get out and everything. And people go there. They flock there because they want to be insulted. It's brilliant. Okay, let's play. I like it. We weren't so good that time on the howling, were we? We'll have to go away and practice again. Okay, this is a Frank Sinatra number, Old Devil Moon.
I look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance make this romance too hot to handle. Stars in the night blazing their light can't hold a candle to your razzle dazzle. You got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. Wanna cry, wanna croon, wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil in your eyes. Just when I think I'm free as a dove, old devil moon deep in your eyes blinds me with love. got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. Wanna cry, wanna croon, wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil moon in your eye. Just when I think I'm free as a dove, old devil moon deep in your eyes blinds me with love.
That was Old Devil Moon, Frank Sinatra, 1956. That is definitely Sunday afternoon.
I really enjoyed that. Every second of it.
He was going, I love this, because it's so relaxing. And did you know that in his early days of performing, Frank's publicist hired teenage girls at $5 a time to sit in the audience at strategic places and scream to whip everyone into a frenzy? Seemed to do the trick.
Smart.
Yeah, very, very smart. And how many times was Frank married?
Oh, God. Six, five.
Four. Not too many. And one of his wives was Ava Gardner, who I had the privilege of meeting and working with on a film called Priest of Love.
Oh, wow.
Which Chris Miles did, who sadly passed away recently. And Sir Ian McKellen was in it and Dame Penelope Keith. Yeah, it was really, really good. But to meet her.
I can imagine.
Yeah, my husband was working on it and she said, oh, you little upstart. She used to call him a little upstart.
Oh. Any particular reason?
Because he's a little upstart.
Oh, okay.
Okay, shall we play The Addams Family next? I love this. The Addams Family theme tune.
And spooky, they're all together hooky, the Addams Family. Their house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really are a scream, the Addams Family.
Neat, sweet, petite.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on, we're gonna pay a call on, the Addams Family.
That was the Addams Family theme tune, 1964. It was written and arranged by Hollywood film composer Vic Mizzi. And actor Ted Kennedy, who played Lurch, loved Lurch, in the series, contributed the words neat, sweet and petite. The song was released as a single but didn't make the charts. But it would now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Addams Family began as a series of cartoons featuring in The New Yorker before it became a huge TV series. I used to love the Addams Family, and I love the films, and now they've done, like, musical. Is the Addams Family the musical?
There's a big spin-off on, is it Netflix or something, called Wednesday, named after Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness, are they? Yeah.
Yeah, from the Addams Family, and there's, like, she's got her own series now. I think it's on Netflix. My wife and daughter watched the whole season last year.
What, of Wednesday?
Yeah, of Wednesday.
I didn't even know that.
Brand new thing, yeah.
And is it all, like, spooky, like the Addams Family thing?
It's kind of, it's all, yeah, a bit more up-to-date, but there is a bit of supernatural stuff going on in it as well, yeah, so... Yeah, they liked it.
But it always puts a smile on your face. Da-da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum. You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, is that it?
That's it.
Oh, no. It's flown by. You've been listening to Vic's Mix on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Vicky Michelle, and the fabulous Paul Golder. I hope that you've enjoyed our Halloween spooktacular. and I hope that the howling didn't hurt your eardrums too much. And Paul is definitely getting better. A big thanks to Nikki for helping with the research and to all you fabulous people for listening. Next up is Claire Javot and Natalie Bayes with the Arts Programme. And given today's theme, what else could I leave you with but the fabulous Andrew Lloyd Webber's Michael Crawford and Sarah Brightman, The Phantom of the Opera. See you next Sunday.
Kingdom where all must pay homage to music. have needed you with me to serve me, to sing for my music, my music.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.